Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. Today, we're going to talk about the River of Doubt. But before we do, let me remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast. We use that term loosely, of course, loosely. Colonel.
Generously.
So we do sometimes use adult language, and
sometimes, we take a bullet and say we.
Right. But it's not you or I.
Right. But we spread the blame.
It's the least we can do for our friend, you know, to put her, we don't want to put her on the spot, but Brandy has, she can be use quite aggressive humor, wouldn't you say there?
Well, she's got an impulse control problem, Timmy. Has that ever been diagnosed in you, Devil? But I don't want to get into HIPAA stuff. But, yeah, it's we say we, but when Timmy and I are talking, you're generally safe. But if you're at work, when the Devil starts talking, you might want to turn your volume down.
Yeah, or if you have small kids or impressionable.
I mean, we can't even get through to the introduction.
So if
the two of you blathering.
If adult language offends you, then what should they do, Colonel?
Well, just get the fuck out of here.
Well,
turn the motherfucker off right now.
That's good advice, wouldn't you say so, Brandy? Maybe
there's
even
plenty
if,
of other
you know,
podcasts on here, and
yeah, maybe even if you're not offended, turn it off.
Get the fuck out of here anyway.
Yeah, because we're probably gonna waste about an hour of your life. But we're willing to do that if that's what you want.
Well,
right.
Let me introduce our panel.
On.
Shall I?
I wish a motherfucker would.
I would like to introduce a lady who is, she didn't finish school.
I don't mean
school.
To interrupt, Timmy. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to interrupt, but like we say, a comedy
what,
podcast.
Kanye? What?
Mm-hmm. We use that term generously. Well, lady, we use that term quite generously in describing Brandy.
Okay, we all get it. You both are pretty. Settle down,
We
girls.
Would like, on, let me go. Introduce a lady. You know, I know, Brandy, you're in mourning because of we lost the Betty White.
I am in fucking mourning. Bullshit. I'm sitting shiva.
The lady who's known.
All
well,
the mirrors are covered.
She's been called Brandy the Benevolent. Can you believe that, Colonel?
Yeah, I can believe that because her followers are kind of brainwashed, Timmy, but nothing surprises me coming from them.
Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, Timmy,
are you excited,
to be
are you excited
here
to talk
and
about
talk to you
Teddy Roosevelt
in a couple of weeks? I'm excited to talk about Kermit. He seems to be.
I know
he has the best name.
Teddy Roosevelt's son. I looked it up. I so wanted the the frog to be named after him. No. Because, you know, Teddy Bear was named after Teddy Roosevelt, of course. So I thought if Kermit...
Right. You were thinking Kermit
the Frog was named after Kermit. I thought maybe Jim Henson might have been a fan of Teddy. But apparently...
He's a fan or of Kermit, Teddy's.
But apparently that's not the case. So I like to dispel that rumor right now, Brandon.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what else have you been doing?
Everything, you know, work's been crazy and just trying to, you know, it's been crappy up here, like just really dingy and gray.
Well, it's January.
Rainy.
You realize that.
So, you know, well, I know, but it's sunny in January sometimes. But, I mean, hell's bells, it was 60,
yeah.
What, a week ago?
Yeah, it's been crazy weather.
I mean... So, yeah, and just, you know, we just stay in.
How is young Noah?
Try not to people.
Is he Noah's still on his
Noah's amazing.
Pro mask campaign? Mm-hmm.
His crusade? Yes and no. He cares less now because he's had his first shot. And he has actually reached a point where even if I want to take him with me, he doesn't want to go. Because people are just ridiculous.
He's a wise young man.
And he also, you know, gets exposed to my parents every week and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, we try and keep him sort of reined in. But, yeah, so he's good. And, you know, dogs.
Did you have a nice holiday?
We had a lovely holiday. We really did. It was nice. It was very quiet. And, you know, I got some nice stuff. So it's good. It's all good.
Well,
it's rocking and rolling here, too.
Colonel, do you think that's enough brandy time? I
think we've given a generous portion of brandy time today.
Because, you know, one of the complaints that we usually get in our reviews is that we spend
too much
brandy time. So,
yeah, more Colonel time, not enough brandy time.
Let me introduce Brandy, a man who we turn to, many turn to in these troubled times. He's been called an oasis in the desert of despair.
Oasis.
By no one.
He has, you know, we are living in these very difficult times of the pandemic, and sometimes people don't know who to turn to. But he's a beacon, I would say. Wouldn't you say that, Brandy, that he's a beacon? he is.
District.
He's a best-selling author. Colonel, I was just reading your chapter on the dead vagina syndrome. Brandy, are you aware of this?
Mm-hmm.
That there's something called a dead vagina syndrome, where
it poses a great danger to women, to me, and they don't often.
It's what my vagina does every time we talk.
Here's the thing, and you've probably encountered this, Devil, because. There's, you know, we've discussed in depth the decaying vagina syndrome, but this is the dead vagina syndrome, and
it's a little bit different.
When ladies are often ladies like to, well, as we call it, ring the devil's doorbell.
Yes,
right.
Women are known to masturbate. Just want to throw that
often,
out there.
And if you do it too often,
oh my God.
You can kill the sensation in the vaginal regions there. And
if you ring, if you ring the doorbell too much, no one's going to
You break come. It.
Yeah, you break it. No one's going to answer.
Yeah. One last bell to answer.
Oh,
so
my God.
It's a true thing, Devil.
Nope.
Dead vagina syndrome. And I'm trying to protect women.
Yeah, it is. Google it. It is it's a true thing, mm-hmm. and
First of
wait
all,
till you get at work and then Google it.
Second, yeah. Right. Yeah. So, yeah, no, that's about enough of
yeah,
that.
You don't,
no, I mean, yeah, I mean,
we can move on.
This is
to
a,
Teddy
you know,
Roosevelt.
A lot of women suffer from this.
It's not. They don't.
Well,
they don't.
You, I,
it's not.
I, see,
don't.
My fear is, and the reason I bring this up beforehand is that, you know, ladies will listen to the show sometimes and, you know, hear me and Timmy talk and sometimes get a little
excited,
you know, worked up, a little worked up. And
no, it shrivels up when it shrivels up.
You know,
yeah, yeah, shrivel. Uh-huh.
You know, and
vaginas. I'm reading here on
no.
The World Wide Web.
I don't understand.
Well, I'm reading
why
here.
We're not talking about Teddy Roosevelt. I want to talk
well,
about.
You know,
Kermit.
We do have a
the frog.
This is a public service announcement.
Yeah, well, it is, because what happens,
no,
Brandy?
It's
is
a bullshit
that,
service
it's,
announcement.
It's usually women. Would you say most of
nope.
The women are using vibrators that have this problem, Colonel, or is it just
often vibrators are the heart
oh
of the
my
problem.
God,
it you know, it bounces back and forth along the tingly parts, Timmy.
Uh huh.
And you, when you have one tingly part and you got another
what?
Thing that's amplifying the tingliness.
Absolutely fucking not. Oh,
well,
my God.
It's like your vagina has a nervous breakdown. It's had too much stimulation. And to protect itself,
oh my God.
It goes
you need
into
some,
vaginal
Xanax.
Rejuvenation. So, yeah.
It goes into hibernation.
Well, it'll shut itself down, much like a bear in the
yeah.
wintertime.
I had a... Wait a minute. Hold on. So let me get this straight.
Well, I'm on a Mayo Clinic website
Roosevelt.
Here, Brandy.
Okay.
And it says it can
oh,
be
good,
caused
the Mayo
by...
Clinic. Perfect.
Chronic stress.
I'm going to send them your name.
Drinking too much alcohol and smoking. That... All those things combined can lead to the dead vagina syndrome.
Yeah.
Now, well,
or this conversation could.
I've run
to
into
it.
This. I've ran into this before, Colonel. I don't know.
So there's that. You never
well,
have.
Well, that's
absolutely.
Well, and Timmy,
not.
As you know, in fairness, and I don't want to cast aspersions or point fingers, but as the Mickey Mantle of cunnilingus. You may have inadvertently caused
oh,
dead vaginas.
I would hate to think that, Colonel. I really would. I would like to think oh. I brought pleasure. See, I use that past tense, Brandy, because now I'm engaged. But
he's an honest man now.
Well, she
so
does, but what
gets
I'm saying
no pleasure.
Is.
Is that what you're
what
saying?
What I'm saying is that I would never, never intentionally.
Leanne.
Cause a woman to have dead vagina syndrome. Because it's a serious, serious condition.
Well, I've told you three times that talking to you all is not.
Well, let me introduce
this,
our.
You keep talking.
Well, sometimes you got to give the vagina mouth to mouth, Timmy, to resuscitate it.
You do. You do. Sometimes it has to
oh
be put on
God.
A ventilator, Colonel.
Yeah. Sometimes it needs life
you
support.
You have to hook it right up there, just like
oh,
like a vacuum cleaner.
No. What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Well, you keep it on low,
that's not
of course,
even fun
but
to kid
I mean,
about. Stop it. Oh, sure. No, absolutely
the,
not.
A man who is known.
Nope.
Well, I don't know what he's known for, but he's best-selling.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
He's a best-selling author.
No,
Brandy.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing.
The very wise, a very wise man. He has a following. He gets tons and tons.
Oh my!
Colonel, do you still
God.
Get people sliding into your inbox, hoping to
oh,
pry you away from Mrs. Colonel?
Well, to me, primarily what I get in my inbox is people with troubled lives asking for advice. Nigerian princes asking for money. Things like that.
I see.
That's what I get primarily.
The very honorable, the Reverend, the Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, I'm not good, Timmy.
Oh.
I'm not good.
What's wrong, Colonel? I'm birding yourself. Well,
it seems over this holiday season, my house has become a... basically a hobo stop. Well, basically a stop for hobo dogs, Timmy. Hobo dogs.
So, or just regular hobos and their dogs.
So you, you've added to your collection is what I'm understanding here? Because
I have Bo and Rudy. And now I have Red, Timmy.
Red.
Now I have Red. Now, Red is supposed to be here temporarily, and I will have my followers... Well, our listeners follow this this saga week by week because we picked up Red. Red is Bo's biological father.
Oh, okay.
And his owners ran into some personal issues.
And so you're adopting.
We took Red.
I see.
Well, we're supposed to be just letting... You know how it is when a relative comes to stay with you for just a bit?
Right.
Red
no,
is
I
just
actually
supposed to
don't,
be here
but,
for
okay.
a few days. No, you wouldn't, Timmy, because you have healthy boundaries.
Well, I don't. But I don't talk to my relatives for the most part.
Well, that's true.
Are they healthy?
Okay, he's got boundaries.
Really?
I'm
is
not
that
saying
what we're going
healthy,
with?
But so now I got another dog in here, and you know, over Christmas, of course, I had all my boys here. And they like to, they like to remind me that I'm not as young as I used to be, Timmy. I mean, that seems, yeah.
I thought I did that every day for them.
And now I got a dog that,
okay.
And I thought, you know, finally, maybe I'll turn this dog into mine because the other two are just Big Mama's boys. And, well, no, there's three dogs following her around. She's like the Pied Piper of dogs in there.
You're not the favorite of any of your boys. Like, none of your boys like you. They would all not piss on you if you were on fire if they could go stay with their mom.
That's pretty extreme, but...
I love all of that.
Well, Taylor asked me, because, you know, Red being Bo's biological father, he said, well, how does Red react around Bo? You know, being his father. And I said, you know how he acts? Like most fathers, Taylor, profoundly disappointed.
So Colonel, I'm concerned because I've seen the pictures of Red. He doesn't really, Bo doesn't really look like Red. Have you done DNA testing?
Well,
they probably do. There's a story there, and I'm not really sure what it is. But he's got
probably had a little bit too much to drink one night.
Well, Red is a kind of a strange coppery color, and Bo has that exact same coloring, but he's got his mama's body, so I'm not really sure. I don't know how genetics works, really, Timmy. You know, I know.
Isn't Red missing an ear?
He does. He's missing an entire ear, Timmy. Red.
Can we delve into Ancestry.com?
It's probably not a bad thing.
On with this.
I only have one ear.
Jesus Christ, it's like
because if you have only one ear,
you only
hear half the things that are being
said,
Colonel, and that's probably a good thing.
It probably is. Yeah.
But the problem is you have nowhere to put, you know, like if you wear glasses, you have to wear a monocle.
Right, Red can't wear glasses. I'm going to have to get him contacts.
Or you could get him like a little...
And that's expensive for dogs.
You can get him like... what's those things? Goggles?
Well, a monocle. I could get him a monocle, Timmy. Two monocles.
Yeah.
Would those be...
Love his heart. He only needs one earring.
That's true. He only needs one earring.
If you had two monocles, what would you call them?
Glasses?
Duoocles? Duoocles?
Timmy's glasses. No, Timmy has two
monocles. No, I don't anymore.
Magnetized in the middle.
You lost those?
No, I still have them, but I don't use them because I don't leave my house, so I don't, you know.
Oh, I don't have to worry. So you don't need to.
Well, no, I don't have to worry about losing them.
Oh, so you don't have to read anything.
I never leave my home. So I know they're, nice. If I lose my glasses, I know Perfect. They're in my condo because I don't go anywhere. I wouldn't call it shut-ins because I embrace it, and shut-in has such a negative connotation to it, but.
You know what? We're all going to end up. This whole podcast is going to end up being some version of Grey Gardens. Yeah. We
Speaking
older,
of which, we are coming up on our seventh anniversary.
Can we get to the podcast?
So we would like to thank all of our wonderful listeners, followers who have supported us over the years.
You know what, Devil? I've got a seven-year itch, and I'm scratching it right now. Right now.
Aren't you glad that we're not on Zoom?
Thank you, though.
Yeah. I'd be tubing it over here.
I don't get the whole thing with FaceTime and Zoom. Why do you need to, if you're talking to someone, why do you need to see them? I don't get it. Can you explain that to me, Brandy? Explain it to me like I'm a five-year-old.
Well,
so sometimes people want to look at the people.
Because sometimes they show you their boobies.
And sometimes they do. But sometimes you also get people who've had a new baby and they have to show
the baby's always ugly.
Grandparents first get to see them. So
have you ever shown your boobies, Charles?
But
on Zoom,
I haven't been asked to show them. But you know, that's the thing I don't like. That's why I typically don't Zoom or FaceTime Timmy, because. You know, I'll be talking to our listeners or whoever that wants to FaceTime me about, you know, their problem and trying to get them, you know, through life coaching them basically to me. And the next thing I know, they're shirtless.
Fucking
and
their
Tommy knockers are just bobbling about over the place. And now it's become awkward.
He took his shirt off one time at a work team's meeting because he thought we were all gone. Don't let him lie. We've seen his boobies.
I just have one other question about that, Colonel. And I forgot what it was. But the point being, FaceTime is overrated, in my opinion. I don't need to see someone I'm talking to. I can just listen to them.
Okay.
But
I have an imagination.
Amazing, profound statement. We're going to talk about the River of Doubt.
Is this a song
please?
Billy Joel wrote?
Can we talk about that?
Are we doing this about Billy Joel? Didn't he write a song, River of Doubt, or something?
Yes, it's all about Billy Joel.
In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep.
Okay, people like it when he sings, Brandy. Our ratings.
Do, yeah.
You know, we have these metrics that we have to meet every month, and you can follow when the colonel starts singing, it spikes. The little thing spikes.
Oh,
but anyway, amazing. We've been here 7 years.
In this pod, wait a minute, this time in this podcast,
episode?
Or just 7 years?
I know we have been. I think we have close to 400. 400 episodes, Colonel, something like that.
Yeah, 400.
We never run out of things to say, apparently. But we do appreciate.
We are chatty Cathy,
especially Chuck.
We do appreciate all of our listeners, Brandy. I know you don't, but Colonel and I do, and we would like to thank them. We should have a moment of silence for them.
Okay. No, we've had a lot of moments of not silence that have said nothing.
Seriously, on a serious note, like I said, we've been around for 7 years. We've had a lot of listeners. And a lot of our listeners have become our friends. Some of them have become our fiancés. Just never know. But we had one of our most loyal listeners who was with us the whole time. We lost over the last few months, and that's Jennifer.
Jennifer Siemens, yes, Linda and, Middleton's daughter.
And we just want to mention that. And she was a very funny lady. She had a great sense of humor. And her and her mom, Linda, was really one of our earliest followers.
Yeah, they were one of the very, very first ones on the thing. And Linda's not old. She was very far, far too, or Jennifer, I'm sorry, was far, far too young for something like that.
Yeah, she really was.
And she died just suddenly, and it's very tragic. It's very tragic. And yeah. She was a, you know, you think back to those days in the beginning when we had 45 people listening to us, Timmy, and but they were 45 loyal people, and you know, she
we're
was
up to we're up over 50 now, Brandy.
Yes, we are. But Linda, we are thinking about your family.
Just
thinking about your family and Jennifer's
ceilings.
Family, and
yes,
you know, it makes you realize, to me, that we're lucky to be here today, recording.
Yes,
not so lucky for our listeners, but lucky for us.
Well, so let's talk about the River of Doubt, Brandy. Would you like that? Well,
oh,
you know, you shouldn't have been interrupting us the whole time we've been on there.
Just let me get through kernel time without being so
right.
You know, butt-insky
monopolizing,
jump
the,
in there. Yeah, try to monopolize the kernel time.
You can't even say monopolize.
You know, did you ever play the game of life with those little cars?
I played Monopoly over Christmas with the boys, and I crushed them. I defeated them.
Did you own?
I killed them.
Park Place and Boardwalk.
Well, I did, but you know the ones that were really raking in the cash, Timmy, is I owned that whole poor side of the board, the Virginia and St. Charles and Tennessee, those purple and orange ones. I owned that whole side. Didn't they land on me and I wouldn't build up on Park Place and Boardwalk until they were getting around to me and Logan thought he was flush with cash and put all kinds of things on Marvin Gardens and then rolled the dice, Timmy, and landed right on my boardwalk with a hotel on it.
Oh, my God.
And he had to start mortgaging things. And all I had to do was wait for him to come around back to my orange ones, and I knew he was done.
Well.
So, yes, I defeated them in Monopoly.
The little Monopoly guy has a monocle, doesn't he?
They have changed all the pieces in Monopoly too. They've changed the pieces.
Yes, he has a monocle.
I was a battleship in this one.
Oh, yeah, no, but there's battleship. There's always been a battleship, haven't they? And a little car.
Yeah, but they did away with the wheelbarrow. That's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I forgot
what
they put in its place. There's a cat.
I like the little shoe. Is what I always try to get. The little shoe.
Yeah, there's a cat. There's a rabbit.
Well, there used to be a dog,
but anyway,
I remember.
Yeah, there's still a dog, but the dog doesn't hold up. It falls over all the time.
Who gives a shit?
All right, let's talk about the River of Doubt. We did an episode on Teddy Roosevelt before. You remember, Brandy? 2017, I think it was.
We did.
Well, Teddy Roosevelt, as we mentioned then, lived a fascinating life.
Go ahead.
Isn't Teddy Roosevelt still your favorite president, wasn't he, Colonel?
He was, and I'm trying to, because last time people said, you know, could you warn me? So here's our warning. Here's the warning, listeners. Bullet!
Yeah. We got a lot of complaints last time because
obnoxious.
The Colonel would do his Teddy Roosevelt impression. But I liked it, Colonel. I really like.
So by all means.
Well, I some people don't like negative criticism, but it kind of lets me know people are listening. So we welcome it, don't we, Colonel?
We're like that, you know, kid in the fourth grade to get sent to the principal's office. Any attention is good attention for us, devil.
Teddy Roosevelt lived a fascinating life. As a young man, he served. Of course, he had a lot of health problems when he was a young boy, and he got through those by. He did a lot of physical activities like boxing and hiking. Well, I'm setting the stage, Brandy. Warming.
He's setting a scene. Read the fucking script. He's weaving. He's crafting a tale. He's weaving a web of
I'm painting a picture.
Atmosphere here. Yeah, painting a picture. Timmy's the Van Gogh of literature, devil.
Oh, God.
Now I'm the Van Gogh of podcasting.
You are the Van Gogh podcast, Timmy.
You know who, that's who you should read. You should name Red Van Gogh because he lost his ear, too. Oh, I think Van Gogh.
That would be a great name for him, but except... He's like 4 years old, and if I say Red, come on, he runs right to me. So if I start saying Vincent, you know. Plus, true. If I call him Vincent, you know, we live in an ignorant time. Nobody really get it.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, why are you calling him Vinny? You know, it's like, I don't want to. Maybe I'll call him Starry, Starry Night, Timmy.
I like that.
God bless it.
Portraits hung in empty halls.
But here's a fun fact, Brandy. That song was about Vincent Van Gogh, but he didn't write it or perform it.
He did not.
The guy who sung American Pie is one that recorded that, wasn't he, Colonel?
Don McLean.
Yeah. So
another fun fact, Timmy.
Yeah.
Another fun fact. The song.
None of these are fun
facts. The first time ever I saw your face. The first time. I'm sorry. It wasn't that song to me. It was Killing Me Softly. Killing Me Softly with this song. Get him. You know that song, devil, right?
I never got that song. I mean, was he like a serial killer or something? I don't get it.
Yeah, he was just killing people softly.
Yeah, he just sing to them until they committed suicide, I guess.
Right. That was actually written about Don McLean, who wrote American Pie.
Really?
It was.
So it's a song about someone who writes songs, Brandy. Mm-hmm. Well, that is a fun
Wrap
fact.
Wrap your mind around that, devil.
It's sort of like, you know, you see a portrait of a man painting a portrait of a man painting a portrait. You get wearing.
Yeah.
None of it's like that. Tell me about this fat bastard.
Let's not body shame the man. I mean, he did have a little pouch late in later years, but come on. Teddy Roosevelt, of course, had a long political career. He served in the New York Assembly, only to walk away from his career. After his wife and mother died on the very same day, in the same house. This was, of course, the topic of our podcast, Teddy Roosevelt's Very Bad Day. You can look that up if you would like a reference. Look it up on iTunes. I believe we released that in 2017. But anyway, his mom and his wife died on the very same day. As he did with the child, when he was sick, he turned to something physical to kind of bury his depression. He found solace in that occasion for his grief by working as a cowboy in the American West. Were you ever a cowboy, Colonel?
I still am a cowboy, Timmy. Once you're a cowboy, you're always a cowboy, Timmy.
Brandy, are you attracted to cowboys?
I have wrestled my share of livestock, Timmy. That is a euphemism.
Did you wear chaps?
Me?
Yeah, did you wear
no,
chaps?
No, that chaps are for the weak to me. Mm-hmm. I used to do it buck naked. I wouldn't even get a saddle. I'd get on a horse, Timmy, just buck naked, no saddle. I slapped a horse on the house, and I would run, and I'd jump on a heifer and just wrestle her down, Timmy. And claim her for mine. Then I brand her.
That's why, Colonel, that guys like me have always lost women to guys like you, because women find that attractive, Brandy, when you... when you herd cattle naked. Would you agree with that?
Oh.
Well, each his own. So anyway.
Because when they say riding bareback to me, I mean, if you got pants and chaps and everything else, are you really bareback to me?
No, I mean, why be afraid of a little, Why be afraid of, I don't know what you're afraid of.
Well, I was afraid of the horse stepping on it as we was riding. You know, that worried me. But I you know.
So you have that problem, do you, when you're...
Well, you know, I didn't want to drag in the ground. I'd get a horse that was... They measure horse in hands, Timmy, so I get a tall horse, you know.
Uh-huh.
Give me a 9-hander, because I don't want the thing dragging the ground.
Okay.
Yes, Brandy.
Hey.
So, in fact, it was a pattern of Teddy's life to seek out danger anytime he faced disappointment. So, if he was a listener to this podcast, he would probably go jump off a building or something.
Yeah.
Like most of our listeners do. After two terms as president, he was president, Brandy, twice. Teddy and his young son, Kermit, who we mentioned before, spent a year chasing big game in Africa.
Do you think... Well, you're about to tell us that Kermit suffered from shyness and crippling anxiety, but could you imagine being Teddy Roosevelt's son?
Yeah.
The kind of anxiety that would come, you know, because Teddy has a bad day and you don't know what he's going to do next.
And
it's like, you know, let's go find the headwaters of the Nile, you know?
Yeah. He did crazy stuff like that. And the other reason why you wouldn't want to be a son is because when you have guests over, your girlfriend or whatever, you never know when he's going to scream out,
Bully! That's a fine girl you got there, Kermit. Bully!
In 1913, at the age of 24, you're right, Colonel. Kermit suffered from shyness and crippling anxiety. However, anytime his father requested his company, Kermit would put down whatever he was going on in his life to join his father. So in a way, he kind of used the same, he went through kind of the same process. When he was struggling with anxiety or depression, he did what his dad did and tried to seek out something very physical or very dangerous. It's kind of how they dealt with their problems. So, as a boy, Kermit suffered from shyness and crippling anxiety, as I said. And in 1913, at the age of 24, Kermit was to marry a socialite, Belle Willard. Have you ever dated a socialite, Colonel?
I have, Timmy. I have.
You have to have a lot of different...
There's... You know, mm-hmm. that whole yeah. West Side.
On the West Side, we have a lot of
thing
we
over
have
there
a lot
that got
of,
going.
What are those 16-year-old coming out parties? And we have a lot of dilettantes on the West Side, Timmy. Yeah.
Well,
oh, dilettantes.
Or debutantes. Yeah.
Or debutantes.
I mean, I once
that? That's probably better for
I once
you.
Dated yeah. a girl who came from the Regina Bakery family fortune.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get free cookies?
Occasionally I would, Timmy. Occasionally I would. You know, her parents owned two bakeries. So, you know, that was quite the empire.
Nobody cares.
Well, Brandy, it was the Gilded Age over there on the West Side as the Colonel became a young man. Mm. So,
I used to walk around in my high school Gilded years, Timmy, with a top hat. Off. With a top hat.
I could see that, Colonel. I could see you walking around with a top hat.
I was in high society in high school, Timmy.
Well,
I had a top hat. Didn't have a monocle, but, you know, that was coming. But
did you have a walking stick?
No. I did one, but I fashioned my own from one I found in the woods.
Oh, so recycled walking
stick.
Well,
an environmentally friendly walking stick to me.
Did you have a carriage?
Even back then. Did not have a carriage to me. Did not have a carriage. But I did have a top hat. So.
Well... So in 1913, at the age of 24, as I mentioned, Kermit was engaged to marry a socialite, Belle Willard. But when his mother, Edith Roosevelt, this is Teddy Roosevelt's second wife, asked Kermit to postpone the wedding to join his father on one of his latest adventures in South America, Kermit reluctantly agreed. The truth was, Edith was concerned about her husband. He was at that point. He was 55 years old. He was overweight and in poor health. To top all of that, Colonel Teddy still had a bullet was lodged in his chest when he was campaigning for president under the banner of the Bull Moose Party in 1912, and he kept that bullet lodged in his chest for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. And he finished his speech. Didn't
he did. He
got shot.
Did. He was shot in the chest, and he had his speech. Mm-hmm. His speech was in his breast pocket, something like 50 pages.
He kept talking.
Is that what this is about?
It's
is
an effect. It's a podcast. It's a fascinating
this
story.
Is, about? Is that what this is about?
Well, no, we're going to have.
Is that what this is about? Is that what
we'll
this
have
is about?
We'll have.
Okay, good. So let's talk about the river.
Episode on Teddy's attempted assassination coming up. But because people love to hear the Colonel
great.
When he
this
says...
This is a teaser.
People love to hear the Colonel when he says...
Bullet!
He's vomiting.
Okay, so Edith was concerned about her husband, who was not in the best of shape. So she was worried that this time Teddy would not come home. Kermit agreed to go on the journey to keep his father safe.
Okay, Mom. I'll go with him.
So...
That was my Kermit voice right. to me.
Okay, Mom.
Teddy had hoped to begin serving...
I'm a master of voices.
Kermit Roosevelt sounded like until then, Colonel. So
just like that, Timmy. They took Kermit's voice from and then put it on the Muppets or whatever.
I didn't know that. Did you know that, Brandy?
Yeah. They used the name and the voice.
Bullshit, so
okay,
no
mom.
I didn't.
There go.
I think he said good show. I think Teddy said good bully. Show. Yeah. And Kermit would say good show. So, anyway, Teddy had hoped to begin serving a third term as president in 1913, but he lost.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He lost, he split the ticket and between him, Woodrow Wilson, and I don't know who else was president then, but I think it was Taft. But anyway, he lost the election, and Woodrow Wilson was elected. So he was moping around in his mansion in Oyster Bay there in New York. He was moping around for months. Nothing worse, Colonel, than a mopey Teddy Roosevelt.
A mopey, grumpy Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, no. You don't want to be around him, really, when he's moping, Brandy. Now, if he was mopping, that would be okay, because you'd have clean floors. But moping is a totally different word. It means something else, Brandy.
Moping, and I want listeners, and Devil, especially you, to listen to this. Moping is not coping.
I like that, Colonel.
Fuck
moping
off.
Is not coping.
So
Colonel's life advice for the day.
Easy, Dr. Phil.
You gotta listen to the whole show, because these little nuggets pop out at you when you're not expecting them, but they'll change your life.
Like
a zit.
So after moping around, I think I got mopping in the script, but he might have been mopping too, in fairness.
Whatever. Yeah, he liked to exercise.
So after moping around his New York home for a few months, Teddy received a letter from Argentina inviting him to conduct a series of lectures in South America. What do you think of that, Colonel? Do you ever get letters from countries? It says here he received a letter from Argentina. So, I didn't know.
Yeah, but I don't know if you read Argentinian.
Or Spanish. Not only did he accept the offer to give a lecture, he decided to supplement his speaking tour with an extended river cruise down two tributaries in the Amazon. Now, at first, it was supposed to be a leisurely cruise, Brandy. You know, he was sit on deck, maybe sipping some cocktails. And every time he see a crocodile or right. something, he would yell.
Bullet! Crocky! Crocky!
Crocky! Colonel.
Please stop.
So, he decided to go on this cruise. But before setting sail for South America that October of 2013, contacted the American Museum of Natural History and recruited a pair of naturalists and made plans to collect animal specimens during the expedition. Now, he recruited these naturalists, Brandy. That doesn't mean they didn't wear clothes. They were scientists who studied nature. Right. I know you got probably all excited thinking that there was going to be a naked Teddy Roosevelt running around.
Nudity involved, yes.
That was not the case.
Yes.
Damn. What do you think Teddy Roosevelt looked like when he was naked, Brandy? Probably still wore that little hat, you know, that little jungle hat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, TR had envisioned a journey that was part holiday and part a scientific endeavor. I think at Colonel, he was trying to write that off on his taxes, and that's why he could come up with that story.
Probably.
But on arriving in South America, he decided to tackle something a little more stimulating, Colonel. Your thoughts on that, Colonel?
Well, I think Teddy was always in search of stimulation, and he could safely do it, unlike some of our lady listeners who can get overstimulated and have the aforementioned, what, Timmy?
Dead vagina syndrome.
DVS. Mm-hmm.
Don't want the DVS, Brandy. And you got to leave that cooter alone, Brandy.
My God.
Just try. Just give it a break for a week.
I would take.
Just give it up for Lent.
We should.
Lent's coming up, ladies, and how about you try to do that?
Really, try to control yourself. Because, Brandy, women masturbate much, much more frequently than men.
Oh, yes, they do. But, you know, Timmy, women can masturbate in a room full of people just sitting with their legs crossed.
That's a little unfair, I think, Colonel.
It is unfair. You know, we got to go through all the, you know.
And, you know, all along, Colonel, they're objectifying people like you and me.
And I don't mind that, but I just wish they'd own it, Timmy. I just wish they'd own it.
Brandy, have you ever fantasized about Teddy Roosevelt?
Once or twice.
That was actually a question. That was actually a question for Brandy. But
what?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, Colonel. Now, after consulting with his guide was the famous Brazilian explorer, Colonel Candido Rondon.
Candido
Rondon.
We could make it together. Who sang Rondon. That song?
Candido. Oh, well, just so y'all know.
That's
you
Rondon.
Know, Tony Candido Orlando Rondon. And Don wrote a song called Candida.
It was.
Remember Candida? Oh, Candida. We can't make it together. You remember that song, Devil?
You know, you know what I remember.
But
is
it
song...
Candida a yeast infection of the mouth?
What?
I believe it's Candida, too.
That's a scientific term, Brandy.
Yeah.
But you know, speaking of Tony Orlando and Dawn, one, why is there only... How is it that Dawn is two women? How do you get one? That's my first question, Brandy. Why is it just named Dawn? Why is it Tony Orlando, Dawn, and Ellen, or whatever her name was? You know what I mean, Brandy? Do you get me? Do you feel me, Brandy?
No,
do you get it?
Clue. I don't feel you, player. I got nothing.
Well, anyway,
I don't know what the fuck you're yammering about.
Colonel Rondon. And you remember Teddy Roosevelt was also a colonel as he when he ran up San Juan Hill.
Yeah, they have. He was.
So anyway, is Juan Spanish for John? Is that how that works? All right. So Teddy Roosevelt went up San Juan Hill. He was a colonel. And here he is going on this expedition with Colonel Rondon. And the thing I find fascinating about this, Brandy, is there's two colonels there. You would think you would be safe, Colonel, if you're surrounded by two colonels.
Well, depends. Some colonels can be treacherous, Timmy.
Did you ever run into Colonel Rondon at the colonel meetings?
Not at the colonel meetings, Timmy. He often didn't come. I think he bowled on those nights, Timmy.
Or.
But it could be, too.
He's dead.
So, anyway, back to where we were. I think so. He and Colonel Rondon. And Colonel Rondon was considered the Brazilian Lewis and Clark. Although Lewis and Clark were two people, and Colonel Rondon was just one person, but he was considered the Lewis and Clark of Brazil, Brandy.
Okay.
TR dropped his original itinerary and set his sights on traveling down the very mysterious River Adoubt, a wild and winding waterway that had yet to be charted. Your thoughts on that, Brandy? Now, the head of the American Museum of Natural History tried to warn Teddy of the risk, but Roosevelt brushed off his concerns. And he said, this is a very Teddy Roosevelt type of statement, Brandy. He said, if it's necessary for me to leave my bones in South America, I am quite ready to do so. Your thoughts on that, Brandy? So he was willing to die on this adventure. He's saying clearly, he would leave it if necessary. He would leave his bones.
Taking him at his word.
South America. I mean, I guess he would die unless he would like remove his bones and then, I guess.
And then he'd just be one big. Huge
well, I mean, breath. Is it possible to have your bones removed? Colonel, you're a man of science.
I don't know, but that stupid little bastard on the Shriners commercial hat.
Well, I think there's you got to pay customs and pay some duty on bones, but yeah, you can get them. Bones used to be duty free, Timmy. Now they charge you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating. That he was ready to leave his bones. He didn't say he was ready to die. He just said he was willing to leave his bones there.
Leave his bones there, yeah.
And it seemed to me that without your bones, you would just be like a mob of skin or something on the floor. But could you actually walk around
be a human chicken breast.
Have bones?
No,
that,
I think that's just...
Nope. This is ignorant as fuck.
Like a wet puddle. We've seen the devil do it at DweebCon. Yep. Just at one time, just after how many...
after
how
happy
many
hour.
Island ICs have you had, devil? And the next thing you know, there's a devil on the floor in the corner, and she looks like she got no leg bones. So...
Well, to my credit, I have never...
No, you
worn
haven't.
...a plant on my head.
No, so. You haven't.
Well, you're still relatively young. I was being generous.
Relative
there,
to what, Timmy? Mm-hmm. Relative to what?
So, right. Anyway, after the colonel consulted with Colonel Rondon, Colonel Roosevelt consulted with Colonel Rondon. See, and I like what if you were a president? Because you know how they call
for
an ex-president,
sake.
And they still call him Mr. President. So. Wouldn't you think he would be called President Roosevelt there? Because that's higher rank than a colonel, right?
I would think so. If I was president, but you know, there's a certain mystique, Timmy.
A gravitas, if you will, Brandy.
A gravitas, right? That comes with being a colonel. So even though you've been president, keep
Chuck,
the colonel.
Chuck.
Yes,
Chuck,
ma'am.
Chuck Charles.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go
you
ahead.
Gotta be
Continue,
quiet.
Timmy.
Let Timmy.
So, along with the
see, he had some momentum going there, devil.
The problem with this whole trip was that originally it was supposed to be just this leisurely cruise, right? So they brought just a ton of shit. They brought their own canoes, which they would later have to discard. They brought food to last them. For 6 months, they brought like luxuries, you know, like tea. So they brought a lot of stuff that they really
hookers.
Did not.
They brought hookers.
They brought hookers that didn't really, the original plan was to have this leisurely cruise, and they would have been okay. But they switched that plan, but. They still kept all of their supplies and stuff. So they had this small army of porters who would carry the canoes and would carry this all this material with them. And, of course, as I mentioned, the team also included Teddy's 23-year-old son, Kermit. He had been living in Brazil. Anyway, so the adventures began by traveling via steamboat to the remote town of, I may mispronounce this, Brandy.
This is my favorite thing in the whole world.
Small town.
Shut up.
Tapapon. I don't know if that's how. Yeah. So he was in it. They had to get to. So basically, they had to make this long trek into the jungle just to get to the river that no one has ever charted.
To me, I don't want to be a Mr. Know-It-All, but I spent a little bit of time in this town, and it's called Tapirapoon, Timmy.
Tapirapoon,
depending on what your mood is that day. I'm going into Tapirapoon.
I wonder if they had a Tapirapoon High School, Brandy. THS.
The Poonas, to me. They used to call them the Poonas.
When I was in Columbia, they had signs. They have signs there, like, you know how we have, like, deer crossing or whatever? They have Puma crossings signs.
Puma crossings? Where was you at for that?
Oh, yeah. Gotta watch out.
Where did you see those, Timmy?
In Columbia.
Oh, Columbia. Okay. Columbia. I thought you said Columbus.
No.
Columbus, Ohio. Okay.
That would have been really no need for those signs in Columbus, Ohio, I would think. But I guess you could run across a puma every once in a while.
Or a cougar. I wonder if you would even see the puma coming, Timmy.
I don't know. They're very quiet.
They are.
So from this small town, they embarked on a 2-month overland trek through the Amazon jungle just to reach the River of Doubt. See, I would have been out there. If they told me I had to trek for 2 months.
Just walk 2 miles to get there? No.
Yeah. I mean,
where's the port? I would have said I'm out. I want to pull up to that. Yeah.
I would say, count me out, guys. But of course, if you get halfway, then you're kind of along for the ride because otherwise you have to walk back by yourself.
Yeah. They have snakes down there, too.
They have snakes. They have.
Oh, my gosh.
Cannibals? Lots of poisonous snakes and spiders, and you can get malaria.
Crocodiles?
And they pretty much, crocodiles, piranhas.
You can get scurvy. Which,
when I was a kid, I was really worried that piranhas was going to be a big concern in my life when I got older, but I really haven't run into one yet. Well, and that and quicksand. Always worried about quicksand.
Worried about quicksand because you never see it coming.
You got to stand still. That's the trick there, Colonel. Don't try to fight it because you try to fight it, you'll go under. But even though I have this information, I have yet to run into any quicksand here in northern Kentucky, Brandy. So from there, from this little town, they had to trek overland through the jungle. Took him 2 months just to reach this river. And though still carrying a bullet in his chest from the failed assassination attempt, which we will cover in a upcoming podcast, he had this bullet in his chest. Roosevelt immediately impressed his companions with his seam, because they was worried about him because he's 55, he's out of shape. But initially, he impressed all of his companions by his boundless stamina. Your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on that, Brandy.
I've had stamina. And I don't like to boast, Timmy, and I don't like to kiss him.
Do you have boundless stamina?
I've had numerous people mention
Jesus
my stamina, Timmy. Stamina. It's important. You don't want to be huffing and puffing, So huffing and puffing all over the port.
And they hired all these natives down there, as indigenous people, to carry their luggage and stuff. At what point do you say, oh, fuck this? I've been 2 months carrying this canoe for you. And that's what happened.
Beads ain't worth all this shit.
Exactly. And that's what happened. They had to leave a lot of their supplies behind as they went through the jungle because they just couldn't,
I'm getting tired.
Yeah, if you've never been in a jungle, Brandy, but you have to sometimes cut your way through, and that's what they did. They had to cut their way through the jungle, and at some point, they start tossing stuff aside. Well, the problem with that, it's like when you move, you should box things up and put a label on them. Well, they didn't put labels on their supplies. So when they started ditching stuff in the jungle,
they didn't know what they was ditching.
They didn't know what they were ditching. And that comes into play later on when they start to run out of food. So Brandy is going to tell us all about...
Has anybody seen my beef jerky?
Bully! So Brandy, could you please, please get on with the story?
Just try to stay on topic, Brandy.
Please.
We've been getting some complaints about you just wandering while you're reading. So if you could stay on topic, we would appreciate that.
Your insolence is insolence. Boring.
The devil. Ooh, that's a big word, devil. Okay.
So like the Donner Party, on the whole, the expedition did not get off to a promising start. Several men were struck down by tropical illness while crossing the rugged Brazilian highlands, and over half the group's animals had died from exhaustion.
That's fucked up. If I'm a pack animal, I'm not going to haul the shit through the jungle.
Well, and at what point do you just stop?
A little bit of wheat? Huh?
That's commitment when you're ready to drive yourself to the point of death from exhaustion. Because most animals, like donkeys, they would stop and say, you know, hell with this.
And who gets the credit? I mean, who gets the credit? It's Colonel Rondon and Teddy Roosevelt. The animals, they don't get no credit. They just lie on a jungle floor, never to be heard of again. Continue, Brandy.
By the time they had finally reached the River of Doubt in February of 1914, a lack of supplies had forced Roosevelt and Rondon.
So it's not, someone's getting their teeth. They're getting fired now. Some
in
people are
the
getting
end,
fired.
The 20.
Yeah, they're in running this thing.
Right. In the end, the 22-man party that set off on the river included just three Americans: Roosevelt, Kermit.
And again, this is not to say George Cherry walked in the jungle naked, Brandy. He's not that kind of naturalist. He studies wildlife.
Now, I'm wondering, when you got fired in this party because you're three quarters of the way through, it's got to be a little annoying.
Well,
because they're out of supplies, so you know you ain't getting a severance, and they might actually eat you.
Well, the other thing is, Colonel, your employer is about to go down this river that no one's ever been down, no Westerner has ever been down, and you might not end up getting paid for the time you put in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you
need to
what
pay
are you
me
supposed
up
to
front.
Sit there,
you know, Apple Pay or something. They need to pay up front.
Venmo me, yeah. Venmo me my money, because I ain't. But yeah, if they fire you, you're just screwed out there. You know, but that's a good way to... It's really a good plan if you're the boss, because then once you get somebody three quarters of the way to the river, they're basically at your mercy. Right, yeah.
Go ahead, Brandy. You know, please try to...
No, I'm going to carry this the last 80 feet, and you're fired. And you ain't been no damn good, so I ain't paying you.
But the good ones, you know, that he really appreciated... Teddy really appreciated, and he would show his appreciation by shouting,
"Bullet, Bobby Bullet." If he liked you, that's what he would call you. There was if he just called you, you know, Earl. You know, Earl typically is not going to be a great worker. You know, so he'd say Earl. But then if he liked you, like Bobby, who was a good worker, Bobby Bullet, come on over here.
Kermit would shout, good show.
Good show. Good show, Bobby Bully.
Now, Colonel, Brandy has started this, you know, her part of the script. God. She's only got through two paragraphs so far.
I wish she could focus, Timmy. I wish she could focus. Could you focus on the script, Devil?
if the journey to the River of Doubt had been trying, conditions only grew more extreme once explorers were on the water. As they floated down the river and dug out canoes, the men were at risk of attack by everything from alligators and piranhas to hostile native tribes. Whenever they stopped to camp on its banks, they were overwhelmed by what Roosevelt called the torment and menace.
There's nothing worse than this. You know what they needed, Colonel, was one of those fly strips.
Well, a bug zapper. They needed a zapper, Timmy.
A zapper.
Yeah. Yeah, because without it, you're at the mercy of the flies, stinging flies, and the mosquitoes. Nothing worse. I mean, you could almost get by if you're only dealing with mosquitoes or only dealing with stinging flies.
Right. One or the other.
But when you have to deal with both of them, it can be quite maddening, Brandy.
And it's hot down there, so you can't strip down to naked.
Well, just a few days into the expedition, the former president had another run-in with the local wildlife when he was nearly bitten by a venomous coral snake. The creature snapped at his leg, but only managed to sink its teeth into his
Good thing he was wearing boots.
Dangerous, yeah.
With each bend in the river, the expedition entered new and unmapped territories. The journey began on calm waters, but by early March, the explorers had encountered the first of what would eventually be dozens of miles.
Yeah, and so they started this expedition in December. So now here we are in March, and they don't know where the hell they're at.
All right.
Well, at some point, you know what he's saying, Timmy. Bullshit! Bullshit!
Well, he gets upset. I mean, you know, if you're out on the river and you they went down the river and they have all these rapids. They have to get out and carry their canoes around the rapid. That would get old after a while, Brandy.
Yeah, at one point you just say, fuck it, let's take our chances.
Okay.
Let's check into a La Quinta call it a day.
Exactly.
Well, and so, Timmy, I think you're going to have to help me out with this next sentence because I'm not sure what's going on. At each cataract, the men were forced to either shoot the white water in their canoes.
Shoot through it. They had to shoot through it. It's called
on their back.
Now, Brandy, a cataract is when you're out on the river and you see rapids. Now, you can't see them if you got a cataract, right, Colonel? But you can
That's
see
right. If you're all fuzzy like that.
That's true.
No, you don't. You can hear them sometimes if you got. But most of the time, by the time you got the cataracts, your hearing shot too. So, you know, so you're just moseying on down thinking everything's going to be fine. Next thing you know, you're going 75 miles an hour in a dugout canoe. And then you find yourself wrapped around the stump of a tree. Well, piranhas chewing on your feet, and
well, and that's why you should never go on an expedition like this if you have cataracts. You should get the laser surgery done prior.
You should prior to it, or at least get you. But they'd fired all the good young guides, or eaten them, whatever they did. Yeah.
So now everybody has cataracts. Sure. So they were shooting through these whitewater rapids in these little dugout canoes. Their progress slowed to a plodding 7 miles per day, and they had to repeatedly stop and build new canoes after several were destroyed.
Right, so remember I told you they brought all these fancy canoes? They ended up having to ditch those and build their own.
Yeah.
So they had these dugout canoes, and the water is just like, you know, Teddy Roosevelt had, you know, we mentioned he was overweight. And the water was like right up on the boat, on the side of the boat. He only had like an inch above the water.
Now I feel a little shame here because a plodding 7 miles per day, Timmy, I know you walk like I walk. You walk like through Moses in the desert, but me and the devil here. When's the last time you put in 7 miles of walking in a day, devil? I got a Fitbit. I can't remember the last time it's hit 7 miles.
Yeah, but I mean, when you got, I think they had to go like 600 miles. So it's going to take you a while to get there if you're only, you know, if you're only.
Well, no, I feel like 7 miles a day.
Yeah, I feel like we'd sit at the end of the day and be high-fiving each other around the mosquito farm.
Well, I would like to say.
Goddamn, we got 7 miles in today.
I admire both of you, but I would not recommend either of you going on a journey such as this.
I believe, you know, the devil goes down to a escape cabin, and it's, you know, it's
several hundred yards.
Primitive, right? Yeah. Wouldn't you say primitive? It's much like, you know, there's things down there that could get you. Mosquitoes. You got mosquitoes down there, don't you, devil?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have to say, Brandy, Colonel and I are concerned about you making these trips to the cabin because it's almost like you're courting a serial killer. You're courting a serial killer.
I'm courting what?
Because
I'm courting
when,
a serial killer.
You know what happens in the movies when you got two women alone in a cabin? You know they're going to die. So the Colonel and I are concerned you're setting yourself up to be brutally murdered.
Speaking of going to the cabin, devil, how is Stephanie?
A dog.
Is she doing all right?
She's wonderful. She's wonderful. She's always wonderful. I actually, New Year's Eve, I had
okay,
lunch with her.
I was under the understanding and that she may have been ill, so I'm glad. She was ill?
She was
recovered?
Ill.
Okay.
She was ill. Mm-hmm. She was ill. And she's still ill, but she's doing
the Colonel. The Colonel probably never heard of the HIPAA regulations, Brandy, but I will say.
I was going in generalities. I didn't speak to.
Stephanie is wonderful, but I don't know how you guys became friends because she's wonderful. Is it like a battery, you think, Colonel, where you have the.
Have the positive and the negative and the two different, alternating currents. I think it's more of, the people who take on, like people drive down the street and they'll see a house kind of all broken down and they'll think, I see the potential here for a wonderful house. And I think that Stephanie must have been driving by, you know, they was in school and she met the devil and she thought,
I can change her.
I can change her, Timmy. I can take my goodness and live my life, and maybe she'll see some examples. And, you know, clearly she's failed. But she's still a wonderful person.
She is.
I love that you guys think all
Stephanie
this.
Is a wonderful person, and we're just so concerned happy. That you're going to get her murdered by taking her down to that cabin.
Not going to be
Yeah,
murdered.
I'm putting my money
He's
on
murdered.
Stephanie and... If you just threw a line of men, Ted Bundy, Ed Gein, you know, Albert
Jeffrey
Fitch,
Dahmer.
Jeffrey Dahmer knocking on the door of that cabin. John Wayne Gacy, I believe you'd have corpses piling up in the backyard of serial killers, Timmy.
Well, Brandy, when you're down there and you guys are alone and you hear a knock
having
at the
pillow
door.
Fights. Having pillow fights.
Having pillow fights. And you're a knock at the door. If they say DoorDash,
and you
it's,
have
it's probably John Wayne Gacy.
Probably. I mean, I am constantly on the lookout.
We want Stephanie to
don't answer the door if they say Candy Graham, devil.
Yeah.
Never answer if they say Candy Graham. Tupperware lady.
Shark.
Anyone who is under the age of 75 would not get that joke,
Avon.
But okay.
Avon. All right, so on March 15th, Kermit's canoe was sucked into a whirlpool and sent tumbling over a waterfall.
Oh, no.
He and a companion managed to swim to shore, but a third man, a Brazilian, named
Which,
Simplicio.
See, I don't know that name is a positive, you know, I don't think...
it's not one that inspires confidence. And translated to American, it's called,
yeah,
it means
it is
simpleton.
Not.
Yeah.
Jackass. So, yeah, you don't want simpleton leading the,
you don't,
leading
you wanna,
the charge into,
yeah,
rapids.
You don't want simpleton in your boat if you're running rapids. But...
Yeah, but now... Now there's
and,
your chance.
And just a point,
dead,
I don't think it's mentioned here in the script, but Colonel Rendon.
Probably not.
Colonel Rendon had insisted that, you know, they portage every time they come to a rapid. And Kermit, he wanted to get home. Remember, he's engaged. He wanted to, you know, get this show on the road. When Colonel Rendon had done, went on a journey to kind of scout ahead, Kermit says, fuck it, I'm going to just ride these rapids. And that decision cost the life of Simplico.
One simpleton.
And Rendon was a little pissed at him because, it's still Rendon. He was in charge.
Kermit just said, Timmy,
fuck it, I'm going to try the rapids.
Good show.
Good show.
Two-thirds of us made it. Yeah. I mean, two-thirds of us survive. Good show.
Mm-hmm. Huh. All right.
Back to the script, Devil. That's your cue.
The 19 remaining explorers continued downriver, but their scientific expedition
and
fight for survival.
They started getting pissed at Rendon because... they're running out of supplies. They're in this jungle. It's, 100 degrees. They're sweaty. They're tired. They're battling insects. And this Rendon, he's on this mission because he has a job to do. He is supposed to chart the river and, so that they can, make a map. But so he's slow. He's doing all this. Every time he stops, go through a rapid or something, he has to stop and survey. So I guess that would be a little aggravating, wouldn't you think, Brandy, to be wanting to get down the river and get home while this guy is out surveying every 100 yards or so.
Right. So, let's see. Their clothes were reduced to rags, and they headed off starvation only by catching fish and scrounging for hearts of palm. Roosevelt, once among the team's strongest members, became delirious from fever and infection. He repeatedly demanded to be left alone in the jungle to die.
But,
are you okay there, Colonel? Colonel Roosevelt.
No, that's what he was doing.
God. Man, just sounded
he was
gross.
Sick. He couldn't just go through the... Bully. His normal bully had become.
That's how you know. That's how they knew that.
Yeah, that's how they
that
knew
he was
sick.
Sick because his bully was much, much more subdued.
Hmm.
Well, Kermit refused.
I mean, okay.
There were a many good days, a good many mornings when I looked at Colonel Roosevelt and said to myself, "He won't be with us tonight." Naturalist George Cherry later remembered. And I would say the same in the evening. He can't possibly leave till morning.
I mean,
Teddy Roosevelt eventually lost.
Would you leave your? Let's say you and your mother was in the Amazon jungle, Brandy, and she was not feeling well, but you could get out. Would you leave your mom in the Amazon jungle? Okay.
Yes.
I kind of thought that would be the response.
Yeah, no. Alice has got to keep up, or you got to shut shit down. So Teddy lost a quarter of his body weight, but he stubbornly held on and even endured emergency leg surgery on the riverbank. As the former president languished in his canoe, Rondon led the explorers into waters closer to civilization. With the aid of local people, Brazilian pioneers who lived in the jungle and harvested rubber The men acquired new canoes and traversed the last few sections of rapids. Finally, on April 26th, the team sighted a relief party that Rondon had previously ordered to meet them at the confluence of the River of Doubt. And the whatever-the-fuck river that is,
yeah, I think
right,
right
there, the Aripuanã.
Your Portuguese is pretty good, Brandon.
Aripuanã.
Okay, sweet.
It's the Aripuanã.
Hey.
I spent a little time down there. The Aripuanã.
You know, the water going down the drain goes
in
the opposite direction it does here. Well, maybe there, too.
Does. I thought that was in Australia.
It has to do with the equator, devil.
So you got rubber farmers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you got some rubber farmers, and they get down the river, and they'd reach the finish line, and those still sick.
I don't think you really painted a picture of what they went through, Brandy. They were out of supplies. They were lost in the jungle. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, in your script. So if it's there,
well,
if it had been in the script,
had done some research, you would know that they were all near death by the time they reach. They didn't know where you know, when this river ended. I mean, they could have just been canoeing down.
I know.
Forever. Yeah, exactly.
Forever. So he beamed with pride, and in typical stoic fashion, he dashed off a telegram to the Brazilian government in which he called the nightmarish expedition a hard and somewhat dangerous but very successful trip. Roosevelt received medical attention once the group reached civilization, and by the time he returned to New York in May of 1914, he had grown strong enough to walk down his ship's gangplank and greet a crowd of admirers. A few critics tried to dispute his claim that the expedition had put upon the map a river nearly 1,500 kilometers in length, but he later won over most of the skeptics during an extended.
Now, men don't lie about length, devil. If they say it's 1,500 kilometers,
right.
It's 1,500 kilometers.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, if they're not talking in inches, maybe they.
Well, let me tell you how this all wraps up here.
Okay.
In 1926, meanwhile, another group of explorers repeated the river journey and confirmed everything the Roosevelt Rondon expedition's geographical findings had said. Now, by then, the Brazilians had given the River of Doubt a new name, the Roosevelt River. They named a whole goddamn river after it.
Yeah, and they named a little another little river on that journey, Kermit River.
Kermit River.
Here's the thing, Brandy. I mean, Teddy is, you know,
that's
near
great.
Death. He's in his canoe, and they're carrying him. They're doing emergency surgery and all that on him. And then he gets the river named after him. What about Simplicio, or whatever that guy's name was? Simpleton.
Yeah.
Well, nobody could spell his name.
I'm just saying.
And you know, this sounds much like Deliverance.
It does.
It sounds much like Deliverance to me.
I can almost hear the banjos playing in the distance.
And Teddy walking up to, so you got out. Well, never mind. Well, anyway, Teddy Roosevelt would remember his time in the Amazon as one of his greatest adventures. But it was also his last. His stint in the jungle had taken its toll, Timmy.
Oh, no.
And for the rest of his days, he was plagued by a collection of ailments called his old Brazilian trouble. Now, the venerable Bull Moose, and you know, Timmy, here's the shame. From then on, he could only say, "Bole,"
very subdued
whisper, "Bole." He just didn't have the heart for it anymore, Timmy. But you know what he tried to do? He stayed active, and he even attempted to volunteer for World War I.
Yeah, he would have been almost 60 at that point.
Yep. Now, he finally died in his sleep at the age of 60, which is, you know, relatively young when you're, you know, a 58-year-old man telling this story. So Edith Roosevelt later claimed that T.R.'s journey down the River of Doubt had wrecked the former president's health and took at least 10 years off his natural life. So,
see, Brandy, next time you go thinking you're going to go down an Amazon River, remember that. Remember that, Brandy.
Yeah.
We don't want any of our listeners to take a journey like that.
It has proven to be an effective weight loss method, Timmy.
Yeah, it was.
So, you know, maybe there's something in this.
But did he keep it off? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know if he had time to gain it. He died so damn soon.
I bet he
did. Well, Kermit served honorably in both the First and Second World Wars, despite his anxiety. But by this time, I think Kermit had probably conquered his anxiety. Because he'd seen some shit. But Kermit also had lingering effects. For years, he suffered from a resurgence of malaria. Now, malaria is the is basically the herpes of diseases, and it will flare back up on you. You think you're cured, and then all of a sudden you out of the jungle, you're in New York City, you're walking down the street, and malaria will come back on you.
I was in Thailand once, and I got the flu, and it came like a few days after I went into we did a jungle type of trek, and I swore, I thought I had malaria. I thought, oh, shit, this is going to take me out, but ended up just being the flu. So that's my point here, Brandy, is don't fear malaria because it might just be the flu.
It could be the flu. But if it's malaria, it will come back on you.
Yes, it does.
But it was
amazing.
Depression that took its toll on Kermit. After his father's death, he began to drink more and more and more frequently. Drink more and more frequently to deal with his crippling anxiety.
Yeah, so he used it as to calm his anxiety. But as we know, well, as Brandy well knows, drinking does not solve your problems, Colonel. It just makes them worse.
Well, we know that. I'm not sure that really the devil has learned that yet, but she will. There will be a rock bottom time for the devil. So in the 1940s, Kermit's wife enlisted with the help of his cousin, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was actually, Franklin, maybe we'll tell his story later on about going down to the river of skepticism.
I didn't know that.
And it ended up. Yeah. Well, you had the River of Doubt, the River of Skepticism.
Uh-huh.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt tried to take that one on, and he ended up crippled, Timmy. Uh-huh. Ended up in a wheelchair.
Yeah, so, let that be a lesson to you, Brandy.
Yeah. So anyway,
yes.
He ordered the FBI to track Kermit down, and he was brought back to his family.
Wouldn't you love
to
have that power?
In the FBI.
Wouldn't you love to have that power just to... order the FBI to, take care of your personal problems.
It would be nice, yeah. Well, in April 1942, his brother Archibald sought to have him committed to a sanitarium for a year. And at month's end, he agreed they compromised to a 4-month stay.
I think Archibald was just jealous because of his name. Because wouldn't you rather be named Kermit than Archibald?
Oh, yeah. He got the best name. He got the best name out of all of them. But the president gave him a commission as a major in the United States Army and then had him transferred to and posted to Fort Richardson, Alaska, where he could see Russia from his front porch. And
there
where he worked as an intelligence officer and helped establish a territorial militia of Eskimos.
You don't want to fuck with Eskimos, Brandy.
No, you don't. No,
that's
you don't.
Last sort of a militia you want to see is much of it. Well, because they have all that blubber. They get them wells and they have blubber. And you don't want to mess with them.
Now, here's my thing. Timmy Devil, do you know what an Eskimo pie is?
Yeah.
It's the frozen ice cream confectionery thing, covered with chocolate, vanilla icing, or ice cream inside. You know that, right, Devil? Eskimo pie?
Eskimo pie,
the ice cream.
Yeah, I said Eskimo pie
around the house with the boys here.
Those are good.
They had no idea what I was talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did not know what an Eskimo pie was.
Well, it's not their fault. They never spent time in the Arctic like you, Colonel.
No, they haven't. And I'm wondering, Timmy, in these woke times that we're in, is Eskimo a slur?
Am I going to get email on this? I don't think so. But if it is, we apologize. But I don't think it's a slur.
Well, Kermit enjoyed himself for about 2 days up in Alaska. But then he died on June 4th in his room at Fort Richardson from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. He was 53 years old. So Kermit's story had a sad ending. And it was probably, you get up in there, he may have had that sad, it was June in Alaska. You used to being warm, but it's, 24 hours of darkness and
he just missed D-Day by a year and 2 days.
He did.
Because he died on June 4th, 1943.
Yeah.
But, the thing is, when you shoot yourself in the head, that's a mess that someone's going to have to clean up.
It is. You really shouldn't do it in your room. You should walk out into the woods, do something like that. But doing it in your room creates a
problem. Or on an iceberg.
On an iceberg, yeah. Yeah, but, with the global warming, to me, it's hard to find an iceberg anyway.
Well, I know. I mean, I haven't seen an iceberg go by my house in quite some time.
Right. I mean, think the Titanic could be completely safe today.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
My God.
So basically you're saying there's some positive things about
there's an upside to global warming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So we would like to thank all of our wonderful listeners who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs. It's all one word, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or Colonel.
Just a wee little bit to me.
So thank you all so much. And I guess that's it, Brandy. What's your final thoughts on Teddy Roosevelt and the River of Doubt?
He named his kid Archibald, so that makes me happy.
Colonel, your final thoughts on the River of Doubt.
Bully, Timmy. Bully.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all next time. Bye.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.